Thank you, Ron, for reading our scripture passage this morning. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners, cynicism, or conceit is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. For this brief time we have together, I invite us to reflect on these words in Matthew and what they mean for us, the church, and the church's mission to make disciples of every nation, to baptize into the communal life of God we call the Trinity. How do we live out the great command Jesus has given us to live with authority? In her book, Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants, PhD botanist Robin Wall Kimmerer confesses that her academic career began to override her indigenous knowing. She had always felt this deep connection to the land, curious about why certain plants grew alongside others, or why the colors yellow and purple always caused her to pause and notice their beauty. Her love and relationship with trees and wildflowers led her to the university. And while pursuing a botany degree, she quickly learned a different way of knowing and a new language that was more observant than participatory, scientific than relational, filled with new Latin names. Had she been born 150 years earlier, she would not have spoken those Latin names or English names, but the Potawatomi language of the tribe she descended from. And she couldn't quite put her finger on it, but the university was missing something for her. It all changed one day when a Navajo woman, without a day of botany training in her life, spoke for hours at a conference. One by one, name by name, she told of the plants that were in her valley, when they bloomed, who liked to live near them, and all its different relationships. Who ate them? Who lined their nests with its fibers? What kind of medicine did they offer? And it was in that moment she realized the treasure of her indigenous knowledge, a treasure academia told her was not worth anything. As a result, she began studying Potawatomi, which proved to be very frustrating. In English, 30% of our words are verbs, action words. However, in Potawatomi, 70% of words are verbs, which require conjugation. She flipped through the dictionary with all the verbs: to be a hill, to be red, to be a long sandy stretch of beach, to be Saturday, to be a bay. She threw her textbook down. Then it hit her. To be a hill, to be red, to be a bay are all possible verbs in a world where everything is alive. A world where life pulses through every single thing, and therefore everything is a verb. One word she mentions is popoi. Popoi is a verb that describes the force which causes mushrooms to push up from the earth overnight. Isn't that incredible? There is no Latin, English, or scientific word like that. Popoi is the force which causes mushrooms to break through, break free toward air, light, what it needs. Through a Christian lens, right? We might step through that word like a door or a new world, and a new way of being, imagine a force of resurrection that could be witnessed through mushrooms in our garden. Deeper and deeper, she got into learning traditional Potawatomi. She was invited to this grand gathering that included every known fluent speaker of Potawatomi to learn, study, and support one another in keeping this language alive. With excitement, she took her seat, and one by one, all those teachers came in with canes, walkers, wheelchairs. Only nine. Nine fluent speakers in the whole world. How could that be? What happened to this thriving language? Boarding schools, missionaries fulfilling the Great Commission with an added manifest destiny, not only stripped Potawatomi people of their hair and their land, but their language, their culture, and spirit. One speaker at their gathering recalled missionaries taking soap or other unpleasant items and washing the mouths of children for talking that dirty Indian language. Generations of wisdom washed away, deep ways of living in community and with the land gone. Denying dignity, missionaries believed they were making disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But was that what Jesus had in mind? Would the hands of Jesus take soap and try to wash away the personhood of another? Was Jesus' message to force others to conform and become someone they are not? There is a legacy that continues to this day, wielding the Great Commission against others. The legacy lives through legislation mandating the Ten Commandments be displayed in school classrooms. It lives in actions of certain religious schools like the LifeWise Academy, who disguise Christian education to promote anti-LGBTQIA theology, creating first century boarding schools for those who do not fit their narrow view of a way of life. It lives through verbal attacks on Muslims, or worse, actualized on mosques, or justified policy for bombing raids, all to live out the Great Commission. How do we think Jesus is looking upon these actions done in his name? But then again, what is our mission? What is the purpose of church if not to get people to come to worship on Sunday morning? Or to see children surround pastor at the children's message? How have we squandered the potential impact of the gospel in exchange for how well is the budget or how many are sitting in pews? After all, that is the first question, right? We ask when we're talking to someone about their church, how many people do you worship on a Sunday morning? A tell that we are lost in this mission thing Jesus calls us to join. To live the gospel for this end would be like unboxing a new iPhone 17. Technology, unlimited potential, yet using it only as a fly swatter. There is such potential in the gospel for life and justice and goodness, especially for these times we are living through. When the disciples saw the resurrected Jesus, they worshiped him, but the text also says that they doubted. That word, tistasio, can mean to doubt or to hesitate. The disciples hesitate about how to respond to the resurrection of Jesus. It was not clear to them. They worship Jesus, but now what are they supposed to do? They need a nudge. They need courage and assurance. And Jesus says, all the authority that was given to me has now been given to you. Yes, make disciples of all nations. Yes, baptize into the communal life of God. And finally, they are to continue to teach and listen to everything Jesus has commanded them. One scholar points this last phrase out. They are not to teach their own ideas or make others like them, but teach what Jesus commanded. This is what is so often missed. The life and ministry of Jesus is the commission. Jesus is the command. In Matthew's gospel, what is Christ like? What is the praxis, the blueprint of missionaries then? What are the guardrails set by Jesus' life and teachings? Mission must be accountable to the gospel. So missionaries must be grounded in Matthew 5, verse 44. Love your enemies and those that persecute you. Missionaries must take seriously giving with no expectation of return. Matthew 5, 43 and 6, 1 through 4. The church must answer by being people of integrity. Matthew 5, 33 through 37. And by embracing humanity, by standing up for ourselves and others in the face of injustice. Matthew 5, 38 through 41. To not judge and not project our sins onto others, and perhaps one we all seem to disregard when it is too inconvenient, to treat others as we would like to be treated by them. Matthew 7, 1 through 14. Each of these, and so many more, is nearly a springboard for being salt and light to the world. John Sobrino writes this: the reality of Jesus of Nazareth is that he did not make himself the focus of his preaching and mission. Jesus knew himself, lived and worked from something and for something distinct from himself. More than any gospel, the gospel that contains the Great Commission here in Matthew is also the gospel that speaks more about the kingdom of God, a community where everyone belongs and has what they need. And so Jesus comes with good news, proclaiming about a kingdom of God. This is the only thing that deserves to be called good news. And Jesus shows us how to live in right relationship with each other, not outsider or insider, but brother, sister, sibling. That's why people follow Jesus from town to town, just to listen to him teach. They pushed in on him. They wanted to touch his cloak because we all need a community to belong to. As Jesus came through and his disciples, which included women and a people of an array of the walk of life, onlookers began to say, do you see how they love each other? Do you see how they care for each other and they share with one another? Do you see how they are living it, not just saying it? Do you see how ready they are to die for one another? Jesus is the command. And we are simply to live it in ways that people can receive and share it fully. I imagine if missionaries were to live like that. Imagine if they learned from the wisdom of others instead of washing it from their mouths. Imagine if our vocabulary included words like papawi, a resurrection force we could witness and hope in, all from our front porch. Imagine how different our world would be if everyone who said they were a Christian, 1/3 of the global population, 2.4 billion people, focus not on making that number tick up, but on making the number of people housed, fed, clothed go up. If each of us in our little corner of the world created a sanctuary where all people felt safe and nurtured, can we imagine if we truly live the Great Commission, and that is to be the hands and feet of Christ? Worship attendance is second. Budget is second. Jesus is the command and commission. And we have been given authority to live like Christ, to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. And when we live that authentically, we are living our mission. When we live that authentically, we create a community that welcomes all and advocates for the needs of neighbors and enemies alike. When we live like that, all are filled with a deep sense of belonging and connectedness. So let us make disciples not in a name or in a confession, but in a way that leads to life for all, a community where all belong. It's a big job. It's the job. And remember, Jesus says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Amen.